place. He controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. Tadejati tannaijati tadure tadvantike tadantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya syabhayataha. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanupashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijagupsate. He who systematically sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaivad bhut vijanataha tatrako mohakashoka ekatvam manupashyataha. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Saparya jakshukram akayam avranam asnaviram shudham apapavidham kavir manishi paribhu swayambhur yatat yatatortan vyaradashchasvati bhyasamabhyaha. Such a person must factually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. Text number 9. Antam tamak pravishyanti ye vidyam upasate tato bhuya evate tamo yau vidyayam rataha. Those who engage in the culture of nescient activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. Mantra 10. Anyarevahur vidyaya anyarahur vidyaya iti shushru madhiranam yenas tad vichachakshare. The wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nescience. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tad vedo bayam saha avidyayam ratum tirtva vidyayam ratum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge, side by side, can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessing, immortality. Text 12. Antam tamak pravishyanti ye sambhutim upasate tato bhuya evate tamo yau sambhutyam rataha. Those who are engaged in the worship of demigods enter into the darkest region of ignorance, and still more so do the worshippers of the impersonal absolute. Mantra 13. Anyadevahu sambhavad, anyadahura sambhavad, iti shushru madhiranam, yenastad vichachakshare. It is said that one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and that another result is obtained by worshipping that which is not supreme. All this is heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explained it. Mantra 14. Sambhutin cha vinasham cha yastad vedo bayam saha vinashena mrityum tiratva sambhutyam mrityum ashnute. One should know perfectly the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna and his transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with its temporary demigods, men, and animals. When one knows these, it surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation with it. And in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Hiranmayena patrena satyasa pihitam mukam tatvang pushan apavranu satyadharmaya drishtaye. O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by a dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. Mantra 16. Kushan Nikarsheyama Surya Prajapatya Vyuharashmin Samuha Tejo Yate Rupam Kalyana Tamam Tate Pashami Yosavasau Purushasomasmi. O my Lord, O primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, O regulating principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of mankind, please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as am I. 17. Vayura nilam amritam atedam bashmantam shariram om kratosmanakritam smara kratosmanakritam smara. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes. Let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices. Because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I've done for you. Mantra 18. Agne naya supataraya asman Vishvani deva vayunani vidvan Yuhyodhyasmachtruharanameno Huishtam te nama uktim padhema. My Lord, powerful as fire, omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins, so there be no hindrance to my progress. Continuing our reading in the Sri Upanishad, we're on page number 8. This Krishna consciousness movement is completely authorized from Vedic principles. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the actual aim of Vedic research is to find out Krishna. In the Brahma Sanghita, it is also stated, Krishna, Govinda, has innumerable forms, but they are all one. They are not like our forms, which are fallible. His form is infallible. My form has a beginning, but his form has no beginning. It is ananta. In his form, so many multiforms has no end. My form is sitting here and not in my apartment. You are sitting there and not in your apartment. But Krishna can be everywhere at one time. He can sit down in Goloka Vrindavan, and at the same time he is everywhere, all-pervading. He is original, the oldest. But whenever you look at a picture of Krishna, you'll find a young boy, 15 or 20 years old. You'll never find an old man. You have seen pictures of Krishna as a charioteer from the Bhagavad Gita. At that time, he was not less than 100 years old. He had great-grandchildren, but he looked just like a boy. Krishna, God, never becomes old. That is his supreme power. And if you want to search out Krishna by studying the Vedic literature, then you will be baffled. It may be possible, but it is very difficult. But you can very easily learn about him from his devotee. His devotee can deliver him to you. Here he is. Take him. That is the potency of Krishna's devotees. Originally, there was only one Veda, and there was no necessity of reading it. People were so intelligent and had such sharp memories that by once hearing from the lips of the spiritual master, they would understand. They would immediately grasp the whole purport. But 5,000 years ago, Vyasadeva put the Vedas in writing for the people in this age, Kali Yuga. He knew that eventually the people would be short-lived, their memories would be very poor, and their intelligence would not be very sharp. Therefore, let me teach this Vedic knowledge in writing. He divided the Vedas into four, Rig, Sama, Atharva, and Yajur. Then he gave the charge of these Vedas to his different disciples. He then thought of the less intelligent class of men, Stri, Shudra, and Dwijabandhu. He considered the woman class and Shudra class, worker class, and Dwijabandhu. Dwijabandhu refers to those who are born in a high family, but who are not properly qualified. A man who is born in a family of a Brahmin but is not qualified as a Brahmin is called a Dwijabandhu. For these persons, he compiled the Mahabharata, called the History of India, and the 18 Puranas. These are all part of the Vedic literature, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, and the four Vedas and the Upanishads. The Upanishads are part of the Vedas. Then Vyasadeva summarized all Vedic knowledge for scholars and philosophers in what is called the Vedanta Sutra. This is the last word of the Vedas. Vyasadev personally wrote the Vedanta Sutra under the instructions of Narada, his Guru Maharaj, spiritual master. But still he was not satisfied. That is a long story described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedavyas was not very satisfied even after compiling many Puranas and Upanishads, and even after writing the Vedanta Sutra. Then his spiritual master, Narada, instructed him, "You explain the Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta means ultimate knowledge, and the ultimate knowledge is Krishna. Krishna says that throughout all the Vedas, one has to surrender unto him. It has to understand him, rather. He also says, Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Therefore, the ultimate objective is Krishna. That is explained in all the Vaishnava commentaries on Vedanta philosophy. We Gaudiya Vaishnavas have our commentary on Vedanta philosophy called Govinda Bhashya by Baladev Vidyabhushan. Similarly, Ramanuja has a commentary and Madhvacharya has one. The version of Shankaracharya is not the only commentary. There are many Vedanta commentaries, but because the Vaishnavas did not present the first Vedanta commentary, people are under the wrong impression that Shankaracharya's is the only Vedanta commentary. Besides that, Vyasadeva himself wrote the perfect Vedanta commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the first words of the Vedanta Sutra, Janmad Yasya Yataha. And that Janmad Yasya Yataha is fully explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedanta Sutra simply hints at what is Brahman, the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is that from whom everything emanates. This is the summary, but it is explained in detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. If everything is emanating from the Absolute Truth, then what is the nature of the Absolute Truth? That is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Absolute Truth must be consciousness. He is self-effulgent, swarat. We develop our consciousness and knowledge by receiving knowledge from others. But for him, it is said that he is self-effulgent. The whole summary of Vedic knowledge is the Vedanta Sutra, and the Vedanta Sutra is explained by the writer himself in Srimad Bhagavatam. We finally request those who are actually after Vedic knowledge to try to understand the explanation of all Vedic knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. What a nice introduction, huh?
Sums it all up.
Yeah. Yes.
In the Bhagavad Gita, we hear that the soul, you know, cannot be killed. You know, it's always been there, I mean, from time immemorial. It will never be weathered by wind and water. And Krishna Paramatma mentions that. Right?
Yeah.
But how come this verse talks about killer of the soul and the punishment that he will incur?
It's because the soul has a certain nature and a certain dharma. And his eternal dharma is pure devotional service, called Bhagavat Marg, to engage in spontaneous loving service to the Lord. And anything that covers that original spontaneous love that the living entity has for the Lord is a means of killing the soul, not in the sense that the soul is extinguished or that he's actually killed, but in the sense that it obscures his actual real interest and he becomes filled with darkness rather than full of bliss and light. So one who engages in activities which are contrary to the path of devotional service is known to be a soul killer, especially those who engage in activities that are especially sinful, that cause one to go immediately down into the darker regions of ignorance. That's known as killing the soul. It's not a literal meaning, but it's a meaning which covers all these aspects that are pushing the soul further and further away from God. So that's called atmaha, or killing the atma, or the soul. It's referred to in the Bhagavatam too. Nivrtitarsha rupagiya manat bhavaushadach chotra mano biramat ka utama shloka gunanavarat. something something pashugnat. There's a reference in the Srimad Bhagavatam at the very beginning of the 10th canto, and Shukadeva Goswami says that those who are those who engage in killing animals and killing themselves cannot take to devotional service. This is a question early in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Kova Bhagavatasya Punya Shloke Dikarmana, that who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of Kali who will not listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam? The answer comes later that it's those people who are killing themselves or killing animals. And they become averse. They're not interested. They can't hear the topics of the Lord. It's a soul-killing civilization nowadays because the way everything's lined up for people when they take birth in the West or now even in the East is they get educated how to kill their soul. You know, all the education's based on so-called knowledge that tells them that they're actually a product of material nature and that the goal of life is simply to try to make the best arrangement you can in the span of life that you have, isn't it? And that there's very little information, even from the religious side, most religious information that people get, there's some request from God, do this for me, do that for me. So all these are considered by the standard of the Srimad Bhagavatam to be what's called Kaitava Dharma, or cheating types of Dharma or religion. And all of those things obscure the real light of the soul. Only pure devotional service, as described in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Dharma Prochita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vejam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivanam Tapam Trayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Ba Prayerishvaraha Sadyo Hridyavarudyate Tra Kriti Bishru Shushubi Takshanat. The Lord is Vastu. He's the real substance. And the living entities are Vastavas. They're little samples of the substance. But they are enjoyable and tasty. And so the Bhagavatam says that it completely rejects all kinds of so-called religion, economic development, liberation, yogic attainment. Any of these things are completely rejected by the Srimad Bhagavatam that don't come to the standard of pure devotion, unmotivated devotional service to the Lord. So it says, Dharma Projita, Kaitava. That these kaitava, cheating types of religions, everything that takes one away from pure devotional service, it's rejected by the Bhagavat school. Dharma prochita kaitavo tra paramo nirmat saranam satam. And this pure Bhagavat Dharma can be appreciated by those who are satam. They have no motivation. They're pure. They're sincere. Vejam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivaram Tapotrayam Mulanam. It's compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, and just by taking Srimad Bhagavatam, just by this direct process of hearing about Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the threefold miseries of life can be uprooted. Otherwise, all these other cheating types of things in which one's killing the soul, actually they entangle one more and more in the suffering of the material world. Only the Bhagavat Marg. Vejam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivaram Tapo Trayan Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Vapre Rishvara Sadyo Hridyavarudyate Trakriti Bishushubish Takshanat. Just by hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, one can arrest the Supreme Lord within one's heart. You're able to actually. The Lord himself becomes attracted to the devotee who's submissively hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, letting it enter into his ear and into his heart. Then the Lord becomes stationed there within his heart. He's within the heart of every living entity, but only pure devotees can actually see him there and recognize his presence. So the Bhagavat Dharma is not cheating. It's actually the real eternal nature of the soul to engage in pure devotional service. And anything other than that, actually, from the standard of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and the Srimad Bhagavatam, is called cheating religion. And it is covering the soul, and it is also called to be atmaha, or killing the soul. We're just discussing from the Sri Shapanishad about what is the killer of the soul. Bhanu Prabhu had pointed out that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the soul could never be killed. So what does it mean that there's a killer of the soul? And practically, in material nature, the soul's eternal nature, it's like when a spark comes away from the fire and lands in a damp place, then practically it's extinguished. You can't see its illuminating nature. So the soul, when it comes into the mode of ignorance, practically, you can barely see that it's alive. It's there. It still has its impetus. But its eternal joyful nature is practically covered up completely. It's killed almost.